Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Are
Good
you?
morning. Good afternoon.
Hi,
Good
everybody.
morning. Good
And
afternoon.
welcome.
Yeah. Hi, good morning, everyone.
Morning,
Morning.
everyone. Good morning, Julian.
Morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, good afternoon, everyone.
Day to all.
Yeah, I think you can take up the meeting.
Thank you very much, Didi, and greetings to all of you. And I wish you a warm welcome to our first meeting of AP41 Working Group. And for this meeting, we have prepared a draft agenda, which has been circulated. I would kindly request the Secretariat to display the agenda. So, the agenda now is displayed. Is there any comments with regard to the proposed agenda for our meeting today? I see no requests from the floor, so thank you very much. So the agenda is adopted. And before going into the other items that we have in our agenda, I would like to provide a few opening remarks. Mine will be very simple. It's just to indicate that I think we are moving quite well in the development of our work. We are now in our fourth meeting. We have been able during our last meeting to address the TORs 1, 3, and 5 based on the input that we have considered. The meeting summary for our third meeting has been circulated to you. As you can see from that, we have been able to have some initial recommendation from our work. There are still some follow-up activities to be done as reflected into that meeting summary, but I'm pretty sure that we'll be able to deliver as required for our work, and we'll be able, I think, to provide timely to the different decision-making bodies, the relevant elements. As we know, one of our key milestone will be to provide our interim report for consideration to the IAC. So, without taking too long for my opening remarks, I will turn now to the Director General if he has some opening remarks to us. DG, please.
Thank you, Chair, and a very good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all colleagues. First, my apologies, my camera is not working well, so excuse me for not turning it on, but I'm there with you. I want to thank you all, of course, for attending the meeting, and as emphasized by the Chair, we are making good progress. The Secretariat, of course, continues to assist in preparing and making all the necessary preparations, which are key to ensuring successful working group outcomes. I want in particular to thank the Chair of the Assembly for making time to be attending these working group meetings, because obviously that shows the importance of the meetings and also means that we are reaching the top hierarchy within the time frame that we are discussing these issues. Having said that, I think I would simply say that, again, welcome, and let's continue with the work. Chair, back to you.
Thank you very much, DG. Thank you for your opening remarks. So let's consider item 2 on our agenda, which addresses the adoption of the third meeting summary. So the secretariat maybe will display the meeting summary, and then I will just seek from the meeting if there is any comments with regards to the document which has been circulated to all the members of the working group. Is there any comments with regards to the meeting summary from our third meeting? It seems no. Okay. Ms. Rivati, please.
A very good morning and good afternoon. Thank you, Chair. Not a major point, but if you go back to the second page of the document, I thought we can bring more clarity. Yeah, the Nigerian delegate. The first, that paragraph starts with the Nigerian delegate expressed gratitude. Then go to the next paragraph, the chairperson. Can you please go down after that Nigerian delegate paragraph? The chairperson, yeah, please, hold there. Yeah, please hold there. The chairperson emphasized the broader issue of particularly focusing on the funding aspect. Then furthermore, the representative highlighted, here we are attributing this to Nigerian delegate, or who is this representative? I feel a little confused in this. I think we can bring some clarity by bringing it here. That's my suggestion. Yeah.
Thank you very much, India. So I don't remember very well. Was it Brazil or? I think there is someone who has emphasized on the issue of the contingency fund.
Even I feel it must be Brazil.
No, I think it was.
It's his chair.
It's a chair. Yes.
Oh!
It's the chair, yes.
So, yes, sorry. So it means that it's is the chairperson. Yeah.
So then I think. He also highlighted, we can something like that, instead of representative, we can remove that. Furthermore, he highlighted the necessity of addressing another critical point. Then it goes well with that.
Thank you very much, Ms. Rivati. Yes, thank you for spotting that. So here we would rephrase. So furthermore, he highlighted.
He highlighted the necessity of. So,
okay. So I think the secretariat would review the document by addressing this change. Any further comments with regard to the meeting summary?
I if you permit, I have one more comment. Can we go to the third page, the next page, please? Yeah, and the starting itself, that's okay. That is the second bullet, that is the Roman number 2. The last line, Intelsat has waived any of the common heritage frequency assignments. I had a little difficulty to understand, but I have seen we have used this word very commonly so far. Waived means Intelsat has not utilized this common heritage frequency assignments, or I just want a little more clarity on this.
Thank you very much, Ms. Rivati. DG, maybe you can help here.
I think he simply said that word waived is taken straight from the ITSO agreement itself as a provision within Article 12C, Little 2. So we are not introducing a new term. It's taken out of the ITSO agreement.
Yeah, thank you for that explanation, DG. Even I have seen that we have used this, but when I'm reading the document, it was a little difficult to understand what is the meaning of this waived any of common heritage frequency assignments. Is my understanding is right that they're not utilizing the frequency assignments?
I think it will be, well, I don't know if we can call on Mori here since he was at the assembly, whatever the assembly may have meant with including that as a term. But I guess it would be a situation where Intelsat simply gives up the use of the of its opportunity. Now, whether that or whether it can do that as a result, well, I guess there are two things. One can be as a result of circumstances that it is forced to give up the use of a common heritage slot, business or otherwise. The other one could be simply deciding that they will not use it for no reason. That is something which I think was meant to capture the opportunity, the circumstance that which Intelsat may not continue using the any of the common heritage positions. But I don't know if Mori, the legal counsel, would like to provide further clarity on that. If you're on the call.
Yes, thank you very much, Patrick. All I'm going to do is agree with exactly what you said. I think the term waive is, as used there and as was used in Article 12C2, simply means no longer utilizes. That can come about for a variety of circumstances. As Patrick just explained, it can be driven by circumstance that they're just not able to do so. They could affirmatively decide they no longer think they need the slot. It can be through inadvertence. And there are a variety of different ways in which the decision may be made or the action taken, or maybe more appropriately, the lack of an action to continue to utilize the slot. But in terms of waive, I think you could simply read that to mean that they're no longer utilizing the slot. And therefore, I think the consequence of that is that it would have to be ultimately suppressed and would go back to the ITU for assignment, potential assignment to another country.
Thank you. DG, and thank you, Mr. Mori. I got it. I got the intent. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Is there any further comment with regards to the document? It seems no. Thank you. So the document is adopted. So going back to our agenda, so the third item is the contribution from the Director General on the TORs 2, 4, and 6. So I will hand over to the DG for the presentation of the document.
Thank you very much, Chair. First, let me state from the outset that this, of course, is a document which is being presented to the meeting as a contribution from the Secretariat to kickstart the discussions on the terms of reference 2, 4, and 6. We, of course, had hoped that there may be specific inputs as well from the parties to sort of support or complement what we have prepared, but we didn't receive any other contribution. That having been said, this contribution, I did share it with the notifying administrations in advance of sending it out for purposes of making sure that we are sort of aligned on the major issues, because a lot of things here relate to the notifying administrations. And I want to thank the U.S. representative, Mr. Doug May, as well as the U.K. representative, Mr. Callum Gray, for their feedback. The document, of course, as stated out, it is written in a manner that responds to what we agreed in general as management team on how these documents will be presented, providing a scope first, dealing with the background relevant to the terms of reference, highlighting the main issues arising with relation to each of the terms of reference, and then making some recommendations for your consideration. And that's the way it has been structured. But that having been said, let me invite Dr. Julian Sesenya to make the presentation on behalf of DG. As my my throat is not so good. I'm not feeling too well this morning, but I'll ask Julian to step in and present the document on my behalf.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much, Chairman. Thank you very much, Director General. I'm happy to assist on the introduction of this document. Well, the terms of reference 2, 4, 6 are in a group because to some extent they are concerned the issues regarding the protection of the party's common heritage and mostly the article 12 C and E. And this is why these terms of reference are grouped together 2, 4, 6 and are being considered together. I have to also comment that the terms of reference 4 and these suggestions that you are seeing in this document have been also shared with the Frequency Working Party in order to enrich or to collect additional viewpoints and additional considerations from the Frequency Working Party. Then going in detail to the terms of reference 2, needless to say, the coordinator and vice coordinator are more than welcome to make any comment or any observation they consider as appropriate. Even feel free to interrupt me if you consider as necessary. Then the terms of reference 2 is dealing with the collaboration between ITSO and the notifying administrations in order to support the implementation of the Article 12C. In the background section, you see the reminder what the Article 12C is about. And this is mostly the authorization of the frequency assignment by the notifying administrations and in order to meet the core principles. And I would emphasize here the fact that the ultimate goal of the party's common heritage is to ensure that the core principles are met. Then, as a tool to achieve that goal, notifying administration have to authorize the use of such frequency assignments by the entities that have signed the public service agreement, therefore the companies that have committed to meet, to fulfill the core principles. That is the context. In the recommendations that the Director General is suggesting in the regarding TOR 2, the purpose of those recommendations is to focus on the means for enhancing the collaboration between ITSO and the notifying administration. Then it is recommended, and also Assembly Party 40 Working Group 2, that work in the previous cycle, had already recommended that each notifying administration implement a closer alignment for accessing the information on the usage of the common heritage. Therefore, it's something that has been already debated, and therefore a closer coordination between ITSO and notifying administration would be helpful in not only to help the monitoring process on how the company is meeting the core principle, but also anticipating potential changes in the regulatory procedures governing space services, which the ITU is reviewing every 4 years, and therefore may have an impact on the common heritage. And you all know that we have the experience that those revisions of the ITUR regulatory procedure have been the main reason for the modification of the party's common heritage over the years, in the first 10 years after the transfer, after 2001. And then the main reason of those modifications had been this revision of the rules, and therefore a significant amount of resources that were part of the original transfer of the common heritage, particularly, for example, in the KA band, were all of them suppressed as a consequence of that. Therefore, anticipating to the potential changes on the regulatory procedure is something that is not planning or anticipating to a problem, but it's an issue that ITSO has already suffered that process in the past. The Article 12C has a number of indents, and then identifying requirements imposed to the notifying administrations regarding the EACHA agreement. But then the main points to be considered in the section three of this document is how to further enhance such collaboration, having as a must that closer collaboration is of benefit for it, so and ensuring the compliance against the core principles, how to ensure that there is a fluid information flow. This means that when requesting information, that information is certainly provided as in a diligent manner, and how to meet the capital C bullet point in the section three says the meeting the obligations under Article 12E, and then there are several in that double E, triple E, five, etc., and also separate manner because it requires specific consideration is the bullet D is meeting the obligation under Article 12E. And the paragraph fourth, because it's addressing how the coordination processes that are undertaken by the company should be coordinated or reported or informed to the director general. That is the general background and the main issues. And then what are the specific recommendations coming out from the TOR 2? In order to enhance such collaboration between ITSO and the notifying administration, one critical point, basic point, is the periodic reporting. I think that it has been already discussed in the previous process that two reports per year, this means a semi-annual report, would be very convenient to keep everything updated and soonest information being provided by the notifying administrations to ITSO. This is in the way of being implemented and systematically it will become a usual practice that notifying administration would be reporting in the period September-October what has happened in the first half of the year, and in the January-March next year what has happened in the second half of the previous year. And therefore, that issue is to some extent already ongoing. And the second point is establishment of a maximum time period for the notifying administrations to respond to ITSO. I think this is not in the lack of resources of ITSO. It is of utmost importance that there is a diligent information and flow. Otherwise, the possibility to monitor and the status of a given frequency assignment of an orbital position of a notification to the ITU, if there are longer period of times to respond, that process is becoming more difficult, particularly because there are no person permanently dedicated, continuously dedicated from ITSO to monitor those points. It is the third point is the diligent notification to ITSO on any plans known to notifying administration regarding potential development affecting the common heritage, for example, plans of suspension of certain frequency assignments, plans for bringing back into use. We are indicating here notifying administration, but indeed we are aware that information is possessed by the company and not all times by the notifying administrations. But to some extent, the notifying administration should request the company to keep updated those plans. This means that either the notifying administration or the ITSO are not surprised by the fact that there is a new notice for a new suspension, which may be that the company was aware of that suspension longer period before, but both notifying administration and ITSO are becoming surprised on that process. Therefore, there should be a need to establish a mechanism by which those notifications should be something regular, administrative step, regulatory step, but no surprise on what to do because we have a new notice in that regard. And also due diligence, I mean, the diligent notification to it. So on any plans now to the notifying administration regarding to notifications to the IT, it would be desirable that those notifications are informed or reported to it. So in, even in advance, that that notification is happening to the ITU and not with some period after that, after the notification has happened. Something is improving in that regard, and the most latest notifications in the second half of last year, there have been a much more diligent information, but that was not the case in previous scenarios and previous notifications that happened last year. For example, there were notifications to the ITU in January and were communicating to it so in April on the same year. As I said, in the second half of last year, the, that communication was much more efficient and much more diligent. Therefore, this is the first group of measures that could help to enhance the collaboration between the ITSO and the notifying administrations. And there is a second group of suggestions or recommendations in the way that it would be a sort of interest of ITSO to ensure that ITSO has all necessary and basic information regarding the status of the party's common heritage. Therefore, from time to time, ITSO requests clarifications to notifying administrations, and therefore there should be a need to for a prompt responses on the on that regard, and not leaving the information for further advisory committees or upcoming assembly of parties or upcoming working group meetings. I mean, there should be much more regular exchange of information. That could be implemented, for example, by establishing and scheduling regular meetings, scheduling meetings in a regular basis, not ad hoc, and, but saying that there is a must for both ITSO and notifying administration to meet at a given regular basis. Therefore, the matter, whatever it is, cannot be deferred to longer period than the schedule between two different meetings. And also a possibility on the positions of the notifying administration regarding the potential elements that could affect the common heritage, particularly regarding the ITU continuous study regarding the World Radio Conferences. And therefore, you know that there is the ITU has the agenda item 7 regularly in all radio conferences. This means that every 4 years there could be the possibility to review, update, modify the regulatory provisions governing space services, and therefore such coordination should be welcome, should be beneficial at, for ITSO to ensure that there is a coordinated approach and also alert on with time in advance of whether there could be some potential impact on the common heritage. They could even stronger cooperation would leave even that the notifying administration invites ITSO to also join or participate in the national preparatory meetings that could be. Of course, ITSO is an international organization, and therefore they could be participant in the ITU meetings, but it would be desirable that at least ITSO and notifying administration are not understanding each other what are their positions at a given ITU meeting. They should have coordinated earlier, and there should be some fluid information between the notifying administrations and ITSO. This means that there are no surprises when they are going to ITU on a matter that would be of potential impact to the common heritage. And that is the block 2. And then the block 3 is maybe much easier because apparently it will be more difficult, but it's already solved. The Article 12E indicates that coordination between the ITU and the notifying administration should be implemented. And then the point there is how to consider the lifeline countries and the lifeline objectives and so on. Then there are a preliminary element is what is the way, or there is a need or not to expand the lifeline countries. And what should be the definition of the lifeline countries updated as of today? Then we know that in the past, in the countries, the 20 years, 25 years ago, the situation may have been different. But now, as of today, what should be the concept of lifeline countries is something that the way ITU is classifying or sorting or considering specific challenges or a specific issue that, for example, least developed countries or landlocked countries may have a special need or a special requirements. Is this something that should be updated or should be taken into account? And then the lifeline contracts are no longer in place, but the lifeline countries, lifeline concept, is there something that should be continue maintained, pursue, expanded, or with a different definition? And regarding the final point four, there are elements here that are brought from the Assembly of Parties 33. This is regarding the coordination procedures and the way ITSO should be consulted, or the way the company should seek approval or endorsement of coordination processes between the company with respect to other satellite operators, and the way to notify by the notifying administrations to ITSO. What is recorded here in the section 4, in the page 4, is a set of transcription of what was concluded at the 33rd meeting of the Assembly of Parties to support the implementation of the Article 12E, little 4, and which the little 4 indicated, and the ITSO and the notifying administrations should consult with the Director General, and the notifying administration should consult with the Director General on ITU satellite system coordination that are undertaken on behalf of the company. You know that this matter has been discussed and raised in several previous discussions, particularly in the working group 2 on the Assembly of Parties 40 in the previous cycle. And then what we are suggesting here and what we are recommending here is that we apply what has been already approved in the 33 Assembly of Parties, which transcription is included in the paragraphs little A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. And I think, Mr. Chairman, sorry if I have expanded. I finished the presentation of the door 2.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sesenya, for this extensive presentation around issues for TORs number 2. As we have seen, this topic is centered around ways and means to enhance the collaboration between ITSO and the notifying administration to support the implementation of Article 12 of the ITSO agreement. And from the paper, from the Director General, he is providing, I would say, a set of recommendation for measures that will support, first of all, establishing appropriate channels between the for the collaboration between ITSO and the notifier administration. And those channels will help to improve the coordination that is needed between those two main stakeholders. Another set of measures which are proposing towards improving the establishment of effective and efficient flow of information between ITSO and the notifying administration to meet the obligation under Article 12. And from that, we can see that it is suggested that, for example, there are regular meetings that should be scheduled between the ITSO and the notified administration. But of course, there should be also possibility for the ITSO executive organ to be part of, to be informed or to be part even of discussion regarding agenda items for the WRC of interest for the ITSO common heritage. Another set of measures which are proposed are addressing the elements towards ensuring timely availability of information which is required by the ITSO, and especially regarding the some of the aspect of the implementation of the obligation on the Article 12. We can see that some for some of these processes the main focus will be to encourage the effective implementation of these detailed, I would say, process or steps which are provided already by the AP33. So with that, I would then open the floor if there is any comments, question, or any kind of any other kind of contribution with regard to this topic, and also the suggested a recommendation by the secretariat. So we'll start with Mrs. Ribati. You have the floor, please.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, ITSO Secretariat, for giving a detailed presentation of this TOR2. And the recommendations are also, I think, prima facie, we should agree with these recommendations because we should have a collaboration continuous between the ITSO and notifying administration. That is the first point. Second is the information exchange between ITSO and notifying administration, and formalize the timelines also. Then we can really think of proper implementation of it. And similarly, the another important point what I felt is very important, that inviting ITSO in its capacity as an international organization to attend National Notifying Administration preparatory meetings for ITUC tell safety regarding the agenda items of interest to it. So, common heritage orbital resources. This is very important. Otherwise, the agenda item 7 and other satellite-based agenda items discussions are going on, and ITSO being a being a owner of common heritage orbital resources should be having a first-hand information, what is happening as per the latest regulations of this? What is the impact of that in the common heritage sites? They can have a first-hand information rather than it is being relayed through another channel. So then having said that, I just come to the potential recommendation under TOR2, that is the third point, the definition of lifeline countries. Yeah, secondly, the definition of to meet the obligation under this thing. Under third point, there is a 1, 2, 3, third paragraph. Secondly, the definition of, oh, I'm sorry, how come it is changed? Is this document what has been circulated is being shown now, no? Is the version is slightly updated? Because I have downloaded my document just 2 days before.
Yes, let me step in, Ms. Rebati. There was an issue with secretariat work and the updated version, which contained the comments from the notifying administration, has been updated, has been uploaded only yesterday. But there are not big changes. So, but this is one of the changes. So I apologize for that. And the secretariat has made a mistake before, and but she updated and sent a message yesterday making the corrections.
Oh, sorry, I could not, because of my other engagements. Whole day I was busy with some other meetings. I could not see it. Anyhow, my concern there is not the concern. I just want to understand the definition of lifeline countries should be updated and indicators to label lifeline countries in line with the ITU. This updation of this lifeline countries and where we need to update? We need to update in the PSA agreement or in the framework of that? I wanted to know, understand a little more. See, when we are providing a recommendations, this working group is providing a recommendation for this TOR2, we are suggesting this to be updated in the ITU framework or within it's that PSA agreement. That's all, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much.
I just want to understand this particular point of LCO countries and updation.
Thank you very much, Ms. Rebati. So I see that DG has already raised his hand. I'm sure that he would provide answers to your queries. DG, please.
Thank you, Chair. Well, one thing is that you remember the LCO contracts were put in place at the time of the commencement of ITSO, and that was specifically to address the issues or the connectivity to countries that are called lifeline. At that time, it was countries that had no, essentially country. Well, first of all, I think if I remember correctly, there was a definition of teledensity. I think that was one of the elements. We allowed teledensity, I think at that time, of 3%. Anybody with teledensity less than 3% was considered to be a lifeline country. I think there were other elements as well in that definition at the time when the AP decided on imposing lifeline connectivity obligation on Intelsat. Now, of course, one thing which also is true is that the agreement itself, although it talks about lifeline connectivity obligations on Intelsat, and those have now expired, the concept of lifeline connectivity still remains within the main agreement. In other words, we should find a mechanism of how do we continue to recognize that there is one of the core principles, the need for provision of services to lifeline connectivity, lifeline connectivity countries. Since it's a core principle, it means that we need to have an understanding of what is a lifeline, what does lifeline connectivity mean? And so here the recommendation really is suggest that more work needs to be done. There should be a clearer specification or clarity in terms of what it means to be a lifeline connectivity country, so that in terms of Intelsat or any other operator addressing the core principles, they have an understanding of their obligation to that core principle. That's the essence of what is being communicated here. And the language in the earlier document was perhaps too broad, and that's why we refined it by making this change in the updated document. I hope that clarifies yes. the situation, Ms. Rivadi.
Thank you, DJ. Thank you. I got it. So my this understanding is that working group will be recommending that it needs to be revised, or working group will be working on it and will be suggesting how we can revise this. What is that working group is thinking of recommending this particular item in that this related to this TOR?
That's the crux of the matter.
Yeah.
So I think what we are bringing to your attention is the fact that it's important that that element is maintained, because it's an agreement. It's part of the agreement. So yes. How do we move forward?
Yes. Thank you, DG, for bringing this very important item in this potential recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you very much, India. Do we have another request for the floor?
I see a request from UK.
Hello. Yes, thank you very much, Chair.
Mr. Callum, please, you have the floor.
Thank you. Do you hear me well?
Yes.
Loud and
yes,
clear. Yeah. Please proceed.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the presentation of this document. So I just have a comment under section 4, item number 2, which refers to the international preparation meetings for the WRC. Sorry, I don't believe that's the appropriate section. So the under potential recommendations under terms of reference 2, that section. Yep. So item 2 under this section here. So I think just to make participants aware that there are already channels for international organizations to send positions on WRC agenda items, and this is done so by other international organizations such as ICAO, IMO. Additionally, the positions can be articulated inside CEPT briefs already by ITSO itself. I believe ITSO has a letter of understanding with the ECC to participate in these meetings. So there already exists an avenue for ITSO to participate in these preparation meetings. So I'm just trying to understand what this section here further allows than what is already there for ITSO in terms of participating in the WRC preparation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Callum. Then I would give the floor to the DG. Maybe then he would provide some clarity on this topic. But I think the point here is to have, I would say, a kind of prior coordination between the ITSO and the notified administration with regards specifically on the aspect which might affect or concern the ITSO common heritage. I think it's not really for ITSO to make broad, I would say, comments or share views with regard to the agenda itself, agenda item by themselves, but more focusing on specific topics and have a kind of close coordination on this specific aspect with the notified administration, either to better understand the issue or maybe to share views about any potential impact that has been that is envisaged. DG, please.
Thank you, Chair. There are really two main issues. One is that in participation to the to WRC or any other ITU global conferences meetings, I think one of the challenges that ITSO has had is what do we define as an ITSO position? And I know that in some meetings of the Assembly, past meetings of the Assembly of Parties, there have been concerns as to whether ITSO can go to a meeting like that and present what you would call an its opposition. That's one challenge. The second one is in terms of being able to participate in the sense that you are there and you represent ITSO and you talk to the issues of concern when a particular agenda item is being discussed in the regional meetings. Now, we have, of course, and continue to participate in the regional meetings at the invitation of the regional groupings, but there's no understood sort of across-board requirement for that to happen for all of them. And here we are now dealing specifically with the North Flank administrations. And I think, of course, I want to thank Callum for what he mentioned. We did communicate with SET some time back, some 3 years or so ago. But although that arrangement was sort of put in place, it was never formalized to the extent of ITSO being able to attend some of the SET meetings that would be looking at WRC-specific issues. So what we are looking to is to have a general understanding that the North Flank administrations could facilitate our being welcome to the regional meetings that are dealing with issues to do, particularly agenda item 7. And that relates not only to UK in the case of SET, but also to US and in the case of CTO meetings and so on. And then once we have that formal understanding and arrangement, then we can use that opportunity as ITSO to be able to highlight what concerns we may have at any particular meeting that is being convened to discuss preparatory work for WRCs. So that's the context, a formal arrangement which will come through the process that the working group is going through, and to be understood also by the AP that when we participate or ITSO participates in those regional meetings, especially those concerning the North, where the North Flank administrations are present, there is a legitimate need for that presence to be recognized. That's really the main issue that was behind making this recommendation. But my colleagues can add to that maybe. Renata, did you want to comment since this will be your...
No, I think between you and the chair, you both cover everything. Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you very much, DG. Is there any further concern, comments, or requests for the floor on this topic? If no, then from my side, I will say maybe a question for clarification to the DG with regards to the potential recommendation under TOR. So in this bullet, it is referred to the establishment of guidelines for notifying administration to respond to its request for specific information. So my comments here, it's section 4, I would say, section 4 of the document, subsection 1, and it's bullet number 2. Yes. So here it is referring to the establishment of guidelines for notified administration to respond to its request for specific information. So here my question maybe is to the DG. Is it something that should be formal, this kind of guidelines? Will it be a formal document, or it's just a question of defining, I would say, a kind of mutual understanding between the notified administration and the ITSO, how this should be framed? Or is the other recommendation in terms that have been provided, for example, on the the item 2 and 4, which provide clear steps and procedures for this exchange of information. Is this that you are calling the guidelines, or is it referring to, I would say, another framework that need to be established formally, or is it something that will be just, I would say, a common understanding on how to proceed? DJ, please.
I've said it's just a common understanding. In other words, when we consult with notified administrations, they have their own procedures of how they deal with responding to requests for information. And here we are thinking of, for example, if you look at the regulators, look at FCC or look at Ofcom, the way they deal with specific requests of information, they have established guidelines on how they deal with that. So we are looking at an understanding of how, when it comes to specific requests, what sort of procedures would the notifying administrations wish us to follow? And if any, in the first instance. And that's, of course, over and above the other requirements which are required of the notifying administration through the ITSO agreement. So it's really just an improvement in how we communicate, in how we collect information, how we collaborate, what sort of procedures are we expect, or should we try to look to in case there's need for any? So I would say it's a general summary of what we would want to see established in terms of how we respond to how we deal with the administrations.
Thank you very much, DG, for this clarification. Thank you. I think this is clear. So mine was trying to look at how this may reflect in our work. So clearly, because my understanding is that from our work, we should as much as possible try to develop, I would say, actionable recommendation instead of having just high level recommendation that will need if they have they are endorsed by the AP other follow up action. So that if this is the understanding, so I think this is just, this could be kept as a recommendation, and we would leave to the executive organ following the consultation with the notified administration to develop the appropriate contents for such kind of guidelines. So there will be no need from our side to try to look possibly on a possible framework for those guidelines. So with that, if there is no more request for the floor, wrapping up on this issue, so could we then agree with the potential recommendation under TORS2 as provided by the secretariat through this document? If there is no comment, so it means that we will endorse those recommendation. But still, I think we have one issue to address, is the issue of updating. I will not call it the definition, maybe the context or the contents of what should be considered as the concept of lifeline connectivity. I don't know if it is still in this document, but I have seen in one of the version of the document that the secretariat was suggesting that we look at a possible, I would say, definition of what could be the actual content or understanding of the lifeline connectivity. So as explained by the Director General and also spotted by Ms. Rivati of India, so I think this is key for the recommendation we are providing here, because in some of these recommendations we are referring to that concept. So therefore it will be good thing from our side, at least when we provide our recommendation to the AP, also to have, I would say, a kind of proposal for consideration by the AP of what should be the actual understanding or contain of what should be the a lifeline connectivity. So therefore, if it is agreeable to the meeting, and if this issue is not raised, and when considering the other TORs, maybe that should be a point that we could look at future meeting based on the proposal from the secretariats and other interested parties. So I see a hand raised from US. Duke, you have the floor, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and greetings to everyone. I just wanted to make one comment about this conversation concerning lifeline connectivity countries. It's a cautionary note of concern. At the time of privatization, there was criteria established for who meets the eligibility to be a lifeline connectivity country. I believe we already spoke about the teledensity, and if I'm not mistaken, the other criteria was a gross domestic product or the GDP of that country being below a certain level. And then, of course, there was also an ability for countries to petition to be an LCO eligible country. At that time of privatization, once we established the criteria for LCO, we accepted obligations under the ITSO agreement as to what was required in serving LCO countries. And as the Director General properly said, of course, the contracts or the pricing protections that existed have since expired, even though the concept of lifeline connectivity obligations still continues to exist in the ITSO agreement. My words of caution, Mr. Chairman, are we should not assume that simply creating a new list of LCO countries is an easy and non-controversial process. In fact, I believe it could be very controversial depending on what obligations are expected related to those new countries to be designated LCO. So I don't have a specific position today or recommendation, Mr. Chairman. I simply want to caution that this is not a simple and easy exercise or a conversation to be had. That's all for me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, US. I think your comments are most welcome, and I think also that you are pointing out on what could be the challenges of trying to revisit this lifeline connectivity countries or obligation or criteria. But at the same time, for me, it shows that it is something that we are not able to push back on it. We will need to address it, and maybe it's the time to start by revisiting those elements and provide a recommendation to the AP. Of course, in all cases, we will need to have this conversation. And for me, our working group could be a vehicle to start such conversation. I see a hand raised from Mr. Mori. You have the floor, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I can interject on this last point, I think much of what Mr. May has said is correct. I would add one other thing that, and I admit not having gone back and looked that closely at the actual decisions taken at AP25, and it may behoove all of us to do that at some point. But I think there's even a mechanism by which, in the event new countries came into existence for the first time after 2001 and the amended ITSO agreement took effect, that there is a mechanism by which they could be added to the list of LCO countries if that seemed appropriate. I think the bottom line is the definition of LCO customer is specified in Article 1 of the agreement. The process for ascertaining what countries should be considered LCO customers was quite extensive and diligent. And I think the focal point, and hopefully this is a point where both Mr. May and the Director General will agree, is probably now that the LCO contract itself has expired, but a general obligation continues to exist in the second core principle dealing with Intelsat's core obligation or the core principle to serve Wi-Fi connectivity customers. What does that mean in practice once the given that the LCO contract itself is no longer in force? I think that's an important thing to focus on, and I think that's very timely for consideration in 2025. But I think that's probably much more important than, as Mr. May said, trying to simply focus on what countries are LCO customers or not, because I sincerely doubt we're actually going to identify any countries that were not identified in 2001 as LCO customers that for some reason today would be. I think the real important mission ahead is to figure out what the second core principle means in today's age. And I think that's where the attention really should be focused.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mori. I think also this is a good point. So trying to figure out according to the core principle, what could be, I would say, the actual or the current, I would say, understanding or contents that we could give to the obligation for on LCO customers. Mr. Bati, please.
Thank you, Chair. I completely agree with your proposal as a way forward. So I could see still we need to address this issue. As Maury has explained, we don't have any LCO contacts now, all expired, but it is there in the core principle. We actually, as a working group level, probably we have to dwell into it and we try to come out with some recommendations to at least AP. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Revati. So, summing up on this topic, so we endorse the suggested recommendation by the Secretariat and as provided into this document. That's the first point. The second point is that the working group, and we will invite for that the Secretariat and also the coordinator for this TOR to continue to examine the issues regarding the lifeline connectivities in terms of what could be the actual obligation or the criteria to identify LCO customers, taking into account the core principle as provided by the ITU, provided by the ITSO agreement, but also taking into account the recent development, I will say, in the satellite ecosystems, and also with regards to the main responsibilities of ITSO. Any comments to this conclusion? It seemed to be okay, so thank you very much. Then let's move on to consideration of TORs number 4. I would also I would kindly request the DG to present the proposal regarding TORs 4.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you. I was just trying to confirm. Thank you, Chair. And the TOR 4 is dealing with the mechanisms for management and protection, monitoring the common heritage. And the intention is to identify possible actions, recommendations to assess the processes and the mechanisms, and having even a closer alignment between the work of ITSO and the notifying administrations. And in the background of this issue, then you all know that the current annual reports that the ITSO is producing for the parties were based on the all the information available at the time of the transfer of the Camera Heritage back in 2001. And then there has been a continual update year after year till 2015, having the same structure. In 2016, they were introduced the concept of the number of frequencies assignments as a mechanism to identify with some more detail, some more granularity, the evolution of the common heritage, and still based mostly on the orbital positions. That was this is what is already contained in the annual report. The very latest version of the annual report had been seen by the Frequency Working Party regarding the evolution till 2024, and systematically every advisory committee or the assembly of parties are reviewing the evolution. Then this is what we are right now, but even in the process of the working party, working group two on the AP40, I mean, in the previous cycle, it was already identified the fact that there is some other information of interest from the parties beyond what is already included in the Common Heritage report, and by other means, the Common Heritage report may be quite cumbersome to understand exactly how things are moving from 1 year over the year. And the current way of proceeding of Director General report is to take into account the ITU levels G32 and USA 276, which are the levels included in the observations of the filings of the ITU, which remind that filing, that those frequency assignment register in the master register of frequencies of the ITU belong formally to an international organization. Those are the data. Also, as a background, in addition, in the previous working group two of IP40, there were already a number of discussions regarding which specific data would be most useful for the parties to monitor the evolution of the usage of the common heritage. And then you have a list of parameters there, like the level of utilization of each orbital position, the level of connectivity in each orbital position, the level of traffic and evolution of the technology, etc. You have there all those points already included. I will refer to these points later because one of the recommendations is to further emphasize the fact that this information would make a significant qualitative jump into a much more useful report for assessing the usage of the common heritage. Then in section three on the main issues to be addressed under this TORR4, the three points identifies the monitoring of the evolution of the registration of the frequency assignments. The secondly is completing and maintaining the record of the data frequency assignments that belong to its common heritage orbital position as registered in the master register of the ITU, and then complementing the periodic report with some additional information that is considered as much more relevant to assess to what extent the core principles are met, which is the ultimate goal. And then in section four, you have the potential recommendations. There are three recommendations being suggested for the working group to consider. The very first one is, of course, it is recommended that ITSO continues with its obligations to develop periodical reports to the parties regarding the evolution of the common heritage. This means a basic obligation to report where we are with respect to the usage of the common heritage. It's recommended to continue. However, on the sections 2 and 3, there are some additional modifications about how to report and how to monitor that that evolution. And then in chapter 2, this is recommended to complete and maintain the record of the updated frequency assignments being part of the common heritage as registered in the MFR. And there are two sub recommendations in this area, on the area of completing and maintaining the record. And then it is inviting ITSO and notifying administration to maintain a clean recording of all frequency assignments, these mean frequency bands and frequency subbands, which are registered in each orbital position under the labels 276 and G32, which provide, which correlate with the fact that they belong to the common heritage. In the past, during past 2 years, we have had some issues regarding whether a given frequency band was part of the common heritage or was not part of the common heritage, because there had been additional notification by the company that were not originally in the package of the transfer assignments in back in 2001, and therefore this kind of potential misalignments between the records of ITSO and the records of the notifying administration should be clarified, and not having any doubt in the future regarding that characterization. A given frequency band in a given orbital position is clearly part of the common heritage, or it belongs to the company, but not being part of the common heritage. And the second subset of recommendation is the fact that it is believed that that report should be much more simplified report, going to the point and going to the substantial changes and the substantial elements, and not bringing all the legacy and all the history of 25 years of history of the company. And whether in 6 years ago, 7 years ago, there was a suspension and then a suppression of a given frequency band or a given orbital location. I mean, that information is good as a background, as a historical legacy of what has happened during 25 years, but what it is considered as more relevant is the point regarding how the core principle has met. Is global coverage and global connectivity certainly available? And are there suspensions or risk of potential suppressions there? And what kind of connectivity is being provided in each orbital slot, and whether those orbital slots, some of them may be crucial because they are connecting a lot of countries, or they are less crucial because they are not connecting many countries. I mean, that kind of information should be more visible, and therefore providing much more interested information, even in much more simplified report. And this process, this specific recommendation was originally raised by the Frequency Working Party 1 year ago, and also endorsed to some extent by the Working Group 2 of the Assembly of Party, but have not been able to be implemented because there would be a need of an additional effort to reconcile all the records and all the material, and then producing a new template of report that would include all these additional elements. And then in the recommendation 3, in the section 3, it is recommended the information or the structure of the material that notifying administration should report to ITSO as a periodical report every 6 months. What should be the content? I think that it should be a need to make maybe an extra effort at the beginning to agree on a given skeleton or a given template. And therefore, once setting the scene, setting the baseline scenario, it would be extraordinarily simplistic in the further years to introduce additional updates. that information today is not standardized in the way that every time notifying administration provide information in the best way that they consider as appropriate based on the content of the material. But there is a recommendation here that information should be a bit more rich and including the background, the elements of the information contained in the chapter 2, background relevant for TOR 2. Is what I mentioned before, is the level of utilization of each orbital position, the level of connectivity, the level of traffic, etc., etc. Because then that information would allow to conclude, Director General, that the core principles are met, which is the super essential point. Whether while the core principles are met, whether there is a suspension or some temporary evolution of some frequency assignments that are suspended and bringing back into use, etc., after a given period of time, well, that would be a relevant information, but it's not the crucial. The crucial should be whether the core principles are met, and then that information as included in the section 2 background relevant for TOR is highly recommended. That is the most substantial point in this recommendation, that notifying administrations may wish to consider the best way to provide that level of detail while at the same time preserving any concern regarding confidentiality of the business of the company by providing aggregated information and never revealing any sensitive commercial information that may jeopardize the business activities of the company. And I think that a report or a potential skeleton of that report has been already seen by the Frequency Working Party, and there is already a template there. And I think that the recommendation from this group is to motivate notifying administration whether they consider that the report, that material is achievable, is raising concerns or insurmountable difficulties or whether it could be implemented for the upcoming semi-annual reports. There are suggestions here on how to make anonymous the connection of some countries in the case that the company might wish to keep some information confidential, which countries are being connected, etc., and just giving aggregated numbers. Then the Frequency Working Party has considered that this structure would be quite important, informative, and helping a lot to the Director General to make the conclusion whether the core principles are met. And that's all, Mr. Chairman, regarding TOR 4.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sesenya, for presenting the paper on TORs number 4. So I think from your presentation, we have seen that the focus on this topic is around providing recommendation for closer alignments between the work of ITSO and the notifying administration regarding the processes and the mechanism for the assignment and management of the common heritage with the objective of safeguarding those important resources. And there are a set of measures which are provided in terms of recommendation to improve the monitoring the evolution of the registration of frequency assignment in the MIFR developed by the ITU. And at the same time also, there are measures that will help for bit so to have timely information regarding the records that are part of the common heritage as registered in the MIFI. And at the same time, also the recommendation addressed implementation of already agreed guidance provided by the AP on the improvement that could be made within the report of the notified administration, especially with the relevant data to assess the compliance against core principle. And those are the key measures which are provided into the document with regards to potential recommendation under TOR number 4. I will then open the floor if there is any comments, question, concern, suggestion or improvement with regards to the proposal on TOR 4. Ms. Rivati, please, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Dr. Sasena, for the detailed presentation. My point is referring to the paragraph 2, potential recommendation of TOR 4. In the point 2, there is a second paragraph, the current annual report. I'm also frequency working party member from Asia Pacific region. I really find it very challenging to read that report. It's a very voluminous report which gives a analysis of this common heritage history over a period of from 2001 onwards. And it's really challenging to understand where these heritage orbital resources are going, how they are being utilized and all. So I feel this recommendation is very, very important. We should have a simple report highlighting the key elements so that we can understand. And that document has an evolution of the common heritage sites can go as a common document. So this is, I really appreciate ITSO Secretariat and DG for addressing this concern. Really, this is a very serious concern. I observed when as a frequency working party member also. Thank you. I just want to comment this. Thank you, Chair. I concluded my comments.
Thank you, Ms. Rivati, for your comments, and well appreciated. Is there any further comments with regards to the presentation on TOR4? I see no hand raised. If then, from my side, I would say two comments. I will start first by looking at Section 3, main issues to be addressed under TOR4. And under Section 3, there is a footnote which has been provided there. And I can see that from that footnote, it is referring to
Yeah, you seem to
Sorry,
have disappeared.
Sorry, it seems I had an issue with my connection. Could you hear me?
No, you have to repeat. Sorry.
We lost.
Oh, okay. Oh, am I audible now?
Now you are audible, please.
Okay, sorry, I had an issue with my connection. So I was pointing out to section 3 on with the footnotes that we have there. The footnote is referring to, I will say, the importance of mobilizing necessary resources in order to support such work. And I think for me, this footnote is addressing an important issue that will trigger Itso to build his own capacity to be able to do some appropriate monitoring. So my question here is, why having such important aspect as a footnote into the document? For me, this is something which is key, and I appreciate the fact that the Secretariat has pointed to that. And for me, this should be in one way or other reflected and emphasized on, because those are part of the incidents that will come up if the recommendations are endorsed. So therefore, we should look also at the kind of incident they will have on aspects such as the necessary resources for the executive organ to implement that recommendation. So therefore, I don't know if there is a best way to reflect it amongst the core element that should be considered and maybe approved or endorsed by the AP, in case the recommendation is also supported by the AP. So that's the first point. The second point is on subsection 3, page 7, the last paragraph. In the last paragraph here, it is indicated that the Director General should propose a structure of content of the extended semi-annual report to be provided by the notifier administration. So here I'm asking the DG, this process has not is not something which is ongoing, because as part of the recommendation from the last cycle, which were approved by the AP, there was the recommendation to improve or to look at how the content of the report could be improved and agreed between the identified administration and the executive organ. Is this something which is not really undergoing, or is this something that will need to be implemented only after the AP41 has made a decision with regards to the related recommendation or measures suggested into this document? I don't know if it's the DG or Dr. Sesenya who could maybe address those two points. DG, please.
Thank you, Chair. On the first issue of the resources, I think that's a cross-cutting matter across various terms of references. So somewhere within the reports of the working group, it needs to be brought out as a recommendation that that actually impacts on a number of terms of references. And if we agree, your suggestion that is an important matter and shouldn't be just a footnote is a very valid one. On the second issue of the wording, I think it is the wording that we have used here which is a bit misleading. We can improve on that. But definitely there was a structure already recommended. The discussions between us and the notifying administrations were not completed so as to finalize that structure. But otherwise, there is already a recommendation as to what the content should be. But maybe, I don't know if Julian wants to add to that or just some further clarification on the issue. Thank you.
Yes, if I may complement, Mr. Chairman, yes, indeed, as you say, this process is an ongoing process because the Director General has offered a very initial structure, but there is not yet feedback from the notifying administration whether that structure may create problems to collect the information or to put into a trouble of the notifying administration versus the company. Therefore, there is a need of feedback on that structure, and the ideal scenario would be that that Director General and notifying administration would agree on that format as soon as possible, and therefore being implemented as early as possible in the next semi-annual report. If the matter continues without a clear understanding on what should be the agreed, voluntary agreed structure, then the matter may go to the AP41, but it would be enormously desirable that all parties understand, and even the Indian representative already commented that understanding and reading the report today is difficult. We fully agree. It's a structure coming from almost 15 years since 2010, the very first time, with other purposes at that time, and therefore there is a need of simplicity, but also on going to the crucial information which is required. Therefore, I think that should be an important matter for discussions in the coming months. And the ideal scenario is also the Frequency Working Party has endorsed the Director General proposal skeleton. This means that from the point of view of what information should be included, there is a sort of unanimous agreement that content is important. What is lacking now is, but that content would be difficult to be collected. It will create problems, and therefore there would be a need of making some differences or some adjustment in the granularity of the information and so on. And that is what is pending. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, DG and Dr. Sesenya, for providing this clarification. So I think, of course, in terms of the improvement was the content of the semi-annual report, I think it's clear that everyone agreed to that. And maybe to improve the language here that we have into the document, I may suggest that instead of referring to instead of stating that the Director General should propose, I would maybe suggest that we could craft it as the Director General should continue to engage with the notified administration to continue to improve the content. Maybe that will, I don't know, DG, is it okay? Then it will take into account the fact that we are in an ongoing process, and whatever recommendation will be made, then it will just to provide maybe a further update to what has been already been discussed or established. DG?
Yes, that's fine. We shall take that into account in revising the documentation.
So thank you very much, DG. So if there are no further comments, so then to wrap up on this issue, I will suggest to the meeting that we endorse the recommendation as provided into this document and taking into account the comments which have been made, especially with regard to the footnotes and also the language addressing the structure for the content of the extended semi-annual report. Is it okay to the meeting that we endorse the proposed recommendation? No hand raised, so thank you for that. So let's move on to the TOR6. I would once more invite the secretariat to introduce the elements concerning TOR6.
Again,
Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and Director General. Yes, the DRR 6 is dealing with the sensitive issue of the risking of frequency assignment which enter into suspension and potential suppression, and what could be possible to maintain those assignments. That is the purpose of the TORR 6, a matter that has been discussed at length. And right now is a matter of extreme actuality of news, because there are a number of assignments which are already under a suspension process and therefore under the risk of a suppression in the future. I would comment in the background section that some additional information coming from the Frequency Working Party, that the Frequency Working Party have a review quite a detailed list of all historic assignments that enter into suspension and then produce a suppression, or enter into suspension and they were brought back into use again to the normal situation. There are statistics there, and then there are more cases that a suspension have ended with bringing back into use than cases that the suspension ended with a suppression. Having said that, of course, when entering into suspension, there is a risk of subsequent suppression if there is no plan or a clear indication that the suspended assignment will be brought back into use before the 3 years period that the ITU regulatory procedures allow. Then, ultimately, what is indicated in the background that the ultimate goal of the common heritage is not really to maintain an assignment per se, even without usage, but to meet the core principle of global core coverage, global connectivity, etc., etc. And therefore, what is being indicated as a convenient element as the issue is in the chapter 3 of this TORR 6, what is being convened is that there should be a need to understand which orbital locations are critical, are essential to achieve the global connectivity. This means there might be in one ocean region, there might be four or five orbital positions, and one orbital position is providing the core of the connectivity, therefore guaranteeing the global connectivity, and other orbital positions are complementing that capacity. Therefore, a frequency assignment suspension in one critical orbital position for one critical frequency assignment is super important, while a suspension in other orbital location might be an administrative issue, but not risking the compliance against the core principle. So far, today, when we are receiving, when ITSO is receiving a notice on a suspension, it is not automatically easy to identify whether that suspension is a reason for alarm, because there would be an impact on global collectivity, or just a reason for an administrative step in the usual business life of notification procedures to the ITU. Therefore, this is one issue, is identification and having a clear detailed information on which orbital locations are critical, essential, and which other orbital locations are complementing in that notice. Therefore, when a suspension is reported or is noticed, then the immediate information and the desperate of the receiving of that information is this a problem or not? Because if there are already plans to recover that a suspended assignment and bring it back into use, well, then it's purely daily life of the regulatory procedure, no matter of concern and so on. However, if a suspension is not complemented with any additional information on plans to recover that assignment, well, there may be a point of concern. Those are the issues, and therefore the recommendations to address those concerns is the first recommendation. Is there should be sufficient information regarding the connectivity that is being provided by each orbital location and the corresponding frequency assignment that are used in that connectivity. That would allow to ensure that the core principles are met even by one single orbital position. And the other orbital position is a complement, but also contributing to meet the core principle, the global connectivity. And a third orbital position in the same area is also complementing and triplicating the possibility of the global connectivity, or not. That is not the case. And then one orbital position is crucial, is core. If something is lost there, there is a risk of impacting the global connectivity or leaving some countries, those affected by the frequency assignment, suspended, being lacking the global connectivity. And then that is the information which is required, or the recommendation that the suspension notice should not come as a purely regulatory notification frequency band XXXY in the orbital position set is suspended, period. Because that information does not allow to either take note without major concern, or at the contrary, trigger the process to recover the situation, because there will be a significant impact. Therefore, that is the first recommendation. Is obvious one is demanding the sufficient information to qualify whether that notice is crucial or is not crucial. Then, and in the second point is, it is understood that when a suspension is happening, then the national procedures within the notifying administration may help to identify whether that frequency assignment and the suspension mode could be reused by any other satellite operator, or and whether that satellite operator would be ready to sign an agreement with ITSO to become also an additional company under temporary basis or permanent basis, but an additional company to use the common heritage. Well, that process is in theory there, because nothing prevents that process could be implemented, but has not been implemented so far. Therefore, there is a room for establishing a mechanism of transparency and announcements when a frequency assignment is in suspended mode. Two things would happen: that the notification already brings information on plans to recover that suspended assignment and bringing back into use within the time frame of the ITU. Therefore, it's simply a matter of monitoring that plan from the company is being met, and therefore no issue at all. Or that notification is not accompanied by any plan to further use that suspension, that suspended assignment, therefore having a high risk of suppressing, and therefore making a general announcements by either ITSO and or the notifying administrations, or to inform any interested party that there would be an opportunity to use that suspended frequency assignment and not to be lost, because it could contribute to meet the core principles. You can imagine that if that suspended assignment was one that has been considered as critical because it's providing a big part of the global connectivity asset, well, then there would be a self-justifying motivation to make announcements and to try to find an alternative company that would be able to restore those frequency assignments. If, by the contrary, the frequency assignment under suspension is not crucial, is not critical, is not damaging the provision of global connectivity, and so on, well, it might be then an option to maintain or not the suspended assignment. But if ultimately there is a suppression well, that suppression may have an administrative impact, but not an impact on the compliance against the core principles. And finally, in the recommendation 3, it is recommended for the above reasons explained that there should be a coordinated mechanism to identify that company if there is a suspended assignment without a plan to be brought back into use. And then it's announced that there is such opportunity to use a given frequency band in a given orbital position, then the interested party could sign an agreement with ITSO, and therefore that agreement would entitle that company to follow the national procedures of the notifying administrations and agree and ensure and meet the conditions imposed by the notifying administrations to be an authorized or licensed company to operate that frequency band in that orbital position. And that's all, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sesenya, for this insightful presentation and the paper on TOR number 4. And from your presentation, we can understand that the focus here is on issue relating to timely disclosure to ITU, timely disclosure to ITSO of circumstances in which common heritage orbital location and associated frequency assignments are in jeopardy of suppression, and at the same times, focusing on providing a recommendation around measures that could be implemented to authorize another satellite operators to utilize those resources, and especially through the mechanism of allowing it to enter into a PSA agreement with the satellite operators in conformity with the relevant provision of Article 12 of the ITSO agreement. And from the presentation, there are a set of measures which are proposed. One set is addressing option to provide sufficient information within the periodic report from the notified administration to allow identifying which common heritage resources are used for the goal of global connectivity. And clearly, it is where the concept of identification of critical frequency assignments has been referred to. Another key point from the presentation is around the establishment of procedures for allowing the operation of the critical assignments, those which are required to ensure global connectivity under suspension and the risk of suppression to other satellite operators. So I think this is also key for the work to look at the appropriate procedure, mechanism, information, data that should be made available to the ITSO, but at the same time also seeking the necessary support that should be provided by the notified administration all along the implementation of such processes. So it's very key for the information to be available on time, and the same times also to establish the necessary procedures and mechanism to make sure that if need arise, then it is possible to allow another operators to use those resources, and taking into account also the domestic procedures established by notified administration to allow such use by another operators. So with that, I open the floor if there is any comment, concern, question, suggestion, or reaction to the paper provided by the DG on the TOR number 6. I see no hand raised, so it seems that all is clear. Okay, so if this is the case, that is fine. So from my side, just one, maybe one comments on the section 4, potential recommendation under TOR 6, and bullet number 3 on page, on the last page. Yes. Here, it is recommended to establish a procedure to allow the notified administration at an ITSO to coordinate in the process of finding alternative satellite operators which may deploy a satellite network to replace the non-operational company satellite network, and which provoked suspension. Mine is just to seek, I would say, a clarification from the Director General on this proposal. The procedures that you are referring here, is it something that will be discussed or established afterwards the AP has endorse this recommendation, or is it something that will need to be a framework for this kind of procedures should be prepared and also presented along with this specific recommendation? Mine is just to understand what's the take of the DG on this, having a two-step approach. First of all, providing such recommendation, and then based on the decision of the AP, start implementing it, or having, I would say, a process where we have this recommendation, we'd also provide with a possible framework for these procedures for consideration at the same times at the AP, just for me to understand the take of the DG on this process, because for me we should try also as much as possible to avoid having follow up action after the endorsement of this recommendation that may take long without allowing the possibility of, I would say, rapid implementation, because if we have such situation today or maybe after the AP, what are we going to do? Are we going to wait till the following AP to look at it at this, or is it something that we should also prepare ourselves starting from now? I'll say now, meaning just to prepare the elements so that at the end of the next AP we have actionable recommendation with the appropriate framework that will just lead the implementation. DG, please.
Thank you, Chair. Your second proposal is what is, I think, most practical. It obviously will be too late to wait until the next AP for approval of this recommendation and then work to start after for the framework. And internally, we have anticipated that that work should be taking place. And part of it includes, for example, issues related to the template PSA, and then the need for meetings between the ITSO Secretariat and the notifying administrations, specifically, for example, the US, to agree on how this process would be handled. So I would think that in the coming months, at least well before you hand over your report to, or before you conclude your meetings of the working group before the IAC. It's important for the secretariat to hold meetings with the US in particular to understand how this would be handled within the framework of the FCC operating procedures. And that having been done, there was also a question of how it would be handled in the case of the UK. So my view would be that it should be done in parallel, and that before you conclude the meetings of the working group, it's an issue where we should have a specific recommendation on the, or even view on what framework will be followed in the proceeding with this issue. So in summary, your second proposal, that this recommendation goes ahead for completeness, but in parallel with it, we need to have the framework established, and that calls for meetings between us and the North Bank administrations, both UK and US. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. Yes, I like your points on that of the possibility of having a parallel process, having a framework being prepared on that. Of course, depending on the outcome of the AP, this could be reviewed or finalized for implementation. But let's hear from the others. I will start with US Doug, please. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have to admit I wasn't intending to speak, but your focus on number three here did provoke a question in my mind. When it talks about recommending to establish a procedure to allow the NA and ITSO to coordinate in the process of finding alternative satellite providers, I honestly don't know what the word finding means. And I also don't believe I have an obligation under the ITSO agreement to seek and find alternative satellite providers. What I may have an obligation of doing is licensing an alternative satellite operator. So I wonder if the word finding could be replaced with the word licensing, because I don't know what other obligations I have. And that's my concern. So again, not knowing what finding actually means in implementation, I have trouble with that word, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doug. Yes, I think that's a good point that you are making, because normally we should, and that's why it will be also important to have the framework been established well before for all of us to have a good understanding on the different steps in that process, because clearly we have the licensing that will involve the notified administration, but of course we have the selection of these possible satellite operators. That's also should be clearly indicated and defined on how this process should be conducted. So I really welcome the work from the Secretariat to clearly provide us with details of how should be clearly implemented. And I will also support that instead for the recommendation, instead of referring to finding, then it will include the licensing. But of course, the selection should be another process. Not sure whether this will involve the notified administration, but of course, we will rely on the, I will say, the groundwork that should be conducted by the Secretariat. And hopefully, we will be able to review this here. Nigeria, please, share the floor.
Thank you, Chairman. Well done. Good morning and good afternoon to everyone. For me, regarding, I think, recommendation one and two, I have a comment. Can you scroll down so that, because recommendation one, I had the word periodic reporting. I think we should look for how we can make it more smart, because periodically it means that it's supposed to be happening intervally within the time. But what is the time that we are giving? Take into account the issues that I've raised before now. So I believe we should qualify that maybe when you say periodic report, is it monthly, weekly, yearly? These are things that I felt to me we need to spell it out. Then recommendation two regarding monitoring of that the Nigerian administration and ITSU should monitor, I think, is it recommendation two? I saw that within the report. I was trying to understand how will they monitor the procedures. How will they? Is the company reporting its activities within a particular period to enable them monitor? So these are the issues that I felt, since we are trying to see how to use the report as recommendation to strengthen their activities within ITSU and the recommender and the operator. So I felt we should address it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nigeria. So maybe I will give the floor to Dr. Sesenia to respond to your question. But I think when we are referring to a periodic, it is maybe because above that, before that, we have addressed the issue of the periodicity of the report. Those there should be semi-annual report, one in March and the second one in September. But Dr. Sesenia will come back to that. And for the second point also, I think he would provide, he will clarify, but because those information should be provided through the report, the report provided by the notified administration. And one of the points which has been raised was that the collaboration of the company will be paramount, and the information should be conveyed to ITSU through the notified administration and using this report. So, but Dr. Sesenia, please.
Well, not sure if Mauri wants to respond to this point or a different point.
Okay, but I think Mauri has some other
points. I'm a different point.
Okay.
He has a different point.
Yeah. Then the key issue here is that we are dealing with two different reports. One is the periodic report. That periodic report will provide a permanent map of the situation, a picture where we are in each orbital location, which orbital location is critical, which orbital location allows to meet the global connectivity, and so on and so forth. Therefore, we should have a much better insight on the importance and criticality of each group of frequency assignments and orbital position. And this is something to be received and to be updated every 6 months, and therefore that should be a systematic approach. Then we would know that in a given ocean region, orbital position A is critical, connecting 30 countries. Orbital position B is complementing, connecting 20 countries. And orbital position C is not so critical, it's connecting only 2 countries, for example. Yes, and that it up to where the case. And then when a notice on suspension is coming, which is individual ad hoc notice, there is no need to wait 6 months to communicate to ITSO that there is a suspension. The suspension will be communicated immediately in the same way as the notifying administration have been reporting in the past 6 months. I mean, the second half of last year, there was immediate automatic information from the notifying administrations to ITSO and saying there is a suspension in this frequency assignment in this orbital position. And that is the point. But then the point there is what to do. And then is that information coming accompanied with additional information that suspension is risking the global connectivity or is not risking the global connectivity because it's in a frequency assignment which is almost not used today, or whether there is a plan to restore the service or whether there is no plan to restore. And then we are referring to this accompanying information ad hoc on the basis of a given notice that would trigger the subsequent process. Imagine a number of scenarios may happen, but with the information which is being suggested to be provided and the map that we would have continuously updated every 6 months, it would be very easy to understand that why There is a suspension in a critical frequency assignment in a critical orbital position. Therefore, there is a need to immediately trigger discussions between notifying administrations and ITSO and seeking ways to potential licensing another company, etc. If the same frequency assignment, the same notice on suspension is coming, affecting a frequency assignment that we already know that is not being used for critical global connectivity, is just part of the common heritage, but is not critical, well, then the reaction may be a different, and the problems associated to urgency to find an alternative solution may be completely different. And that is the discussion being held in this recommendation to establish such a procedure that would take into account the urgency to find the solution or not, urgency to find a solution. I hope that I have clarified and not confused more. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sesenya. Before giving the floor to Mori, maybe I would ask Nigeria, are you satisfied with the responses to your question?
Yes, it's fine. Since he said it's a month, 6 months.
Yeah.
6 months. So that means it's time frame, so it's fine.
Okay. Thank you. Mori, please.
Yes, this is a very minor point. I think Doug's observation that the word finding was problematic was entirely correct, but in fixing it, I think we need to say licensing or authorizing, and that's to reflect that we have two notifying administrations with somewhat different procedures. In the case of the FCC, it's clearly licensing. In the case of the UK, it's harder to characterize, but I think we've been using the term authorizing, so I think that would make sense to use that here as well.
Thank you very much, Mori. So we would take that. So with that, do we have any further comments or requests from the floor on this issue? I see none. So therefore, I suggest to the meeting that we endorse the recommendation as provided into this paper, but taking into account the comments which has been raised here, especially regarding recrafting the word instead of finding, we would say licensing / authorizing. It seems okay. So thank you very much. So we have concluded with item 3 on our agenda. Let's move then to item 4. It was addressing possible contribution from the coordinators of the TOR 2, 4, and 6. I'm not sure that we have a written contribution, but I would like, if the coordinator or the vice coordinator is with us in the room, maybe if they have further comments or both to share with us. Maybe they were not able to join us. Okay, thank you. So let's move then to AOB. US, Mr. Doug, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If it's okay with you, I'd like to ask whether or not the Director General could update us on the funding of ITSO. I think we're in the period of the current funding coming to its end, I think, soon, and the negotiations of future funding, which, of course, needs to be handed over to Ms. Renata Brazil-David next month when she takes over. But I wonder if there's any update on the funding issue. Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. US DG, please.
Thank you, Chair and Doug. we have had a lot of discussion with Intelsat on funding for financial year 26, to and fro and so on. And I've been literally communicating with them on a weekly basis. The situation as it is now is that they have clearly stated that they will not, they are not in a position to provide funding to the tune of the budget that was approved by the AP. Rather, what they have insisted is that the budget will be, they will be able to provide $1 million. So that's where we are. The major impact on that is the reduction in the amount of money that they would, they are prepared to spend on the hosting of the AP, which last year was at 185. This time round, they have said they will not fund more than 150. However, they are prepared to fund the operating budget to the same tune of 850. So in terms of discussions with them, we have concluded on that note. The funding agreement was supposed to be sent to us by sometime like 2 weeks ago. It hasn't happened yet, but the person who is directly negotiating for Intelsat says that it is ready and should be sent, should be signed and sent to us within this week. So I'll follow that up in the course of today, tomorrow, to try to make sure that we have that agreement in place before the July 1 date. So obviously there may be some challenges still in terms of funding not being adequate. And the incoming Director General will be addressing that. But I think we are, as it's so hoping or believing, that once the merger process is completed with SES, which perhaps, I don't know if Doug is in a position to comment about, but looks like it may happen before, maybe in the coming few months, certainly not before July. We're hoping, or ISRO is hoping, that with the merger in place, the funding situation, hopefully, will improve and will be a better level of funding starting next year. So beyond that, Mr. Chairman, I can't say anymore. I think as soon as we have a funding agreement in place, as usual, I will send information to the parties to tell them that we have reached this agreement and share a copy of that agreement with the parties as we have done in the past. The incoming DG has been participating. We have worked on this together jointly. And so I would ask if Renata would like to make any comment with respect to the question raised by US.
Thank you very much, Director General, and thank you very much, the US, for raising this very important question. As the Director General mentioned, we are underfunded even a bit further than what we were last time. And this raises a bit of concerns, because not only they're not giving us what the Assembly of Parties approved for the operating amount, they are cutting us a bit on the Assembly of Parties budget that was already very tight. So I'm going to start in a few weeks in a very challenging situation. And as the Director General mentioned, my hope and goal is to address this issue with SES once the merger is completed, because Intelsat was very strongly confirming that they would not pay us more than a million. So I think actually the final amount was 850 for operating and a bit of less than 150, because they say they would not meet the 1 million. It would be 999, that was, I think, the last information. But we'll see once we've received the funding agreement. But it's a very tricky situation. It's not livable the way it is. As you, it was mentioned in the footnote in the report. There are a lot of things to be done that we cannot do right now. So my hope is to renegotiate this at some point with SES. And of course, I will seek the support from the parties into helping us obtain the minimum budget approved by the Assembly of Parties. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DJ. Thank you, Renata, for providing this update. Maybe I will ask a follow-up question. Is it possible even to have also any update on the merger process between SES and Intelsat, if you have any further information on this?
At least we don't have any formal further information. I mean, information which you are getting is what is available through the FCC website and through through the news. I mean, for example, the for the case of competition issues, Europe, I mean, the European Union cleared the merger, and also UK did. On the side of the US, I don't have any newer information, but again, if I could put Doug on the spot, maybe he might be able to provide further information.
Mr. Chairman, if you want me to speak, I have nothing to add. I think Mr. Mosambo knows all too well I don't work in the approval process for the merger. I am an interested observer like everyone else. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, DJ. Thank you, Doug. Yes, it was just maybe to share information about what is available. You know that this process is not something which is always run publicly. So therefore, it was just for us to be updated. Also, acknowledging the challenges that we are facing in our discussion on the financing agreement with Intelsat. Any further topic or subject or issues under the AOB? If not, then we will get to the closing remarks. I would start by the DG.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me say that in my closing remarks, I really want to just say a word of farewell. As my term comes to an end in the next 3 weeks on 17th of July, I felt I should take a moment to say a word of farewell. It has been my honor to serve ITSO for the last 15 years. And as I transition into my next level of activities, I wish to thank all of you in a special way for having made my service so enjoyable, fruitful, and worthy. It has been a very rewarding professional experience, and as an individual, I have benefited tremendously. Your cooperation, whether as part of the working group or as part of the AP or as part of the ISC, has been tremendous, and the commitment to ITSO has been exemplary. And so I believe that this instead augurs well for the organization and sets ITSO apart as the organization continues on its journey. I feel proud that I've been part of the team that has achieved so much for humanity. And I'm sure as I start a new journey, we shall be meeting again. In telecoms, you never say bye, because you'd be surprised how many times you'd be saying that if you had to. And so I just want to put on record that it has been a great time. I appreciate all of you. I thank you all for what you have done. And let's talk again. I'm sure we shall meet. It is not a bye for you know, it's maybe I'm leaving the organization, winding up with it. So, but certainly on the professional side and at the personal level, we shall continue interacting. I want to thank you, Chair, for the opportunities that you have had. I want to thank you, all colleagues, and of course the Chair of the AP, also for being present throughout these sessions. Thank you all, and we'll meet again. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. So maybe I will have some few words, but I see there are other hand raised. I will start with Renata.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I would like also to take this opportunity to recognize and thank the Director General, Mr. Patrick Masambu, for the excellent work that he has been doing and for during these very challenging times. I think Patrick had to live through very extreme challenging times at the organization, and he did an outstanding work. So I wanted to thank him for all the support, for all the work, for the mentoring, and that I look forward to continuing with the work. It's still during very challenging times, but I want to wish Patrick all the best in his next endeavors. And to invite all the parties to clap for him for the excellent job that he has done. So thank you, Patrick. That was what I wanted to say to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Renata. The chair of the AP, Alexandru.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I will be quite brief, but with heartfelt words. So I just want to extend my gratitude to Mr. Masambu, our current Director General, for his outstanding leadership. His contribution will be definitely leave a lasting impact to all of us. And as he mentioned, this is not a farewell, it's just see you soon, and we hope to see him soon. His experience is amazing, and all of us that have the chance to work with Patrick will be long impacted by his guidance. Also, I'm also confident that we will work effectively with our incoming Director General, with Renata, building on the strong foundation already established, and we are looking forward to. I'm sure, even if I'm saying we, I'm sure I'm echoing all voices that we are sure that we are going to work very well with her. And also, I take this opportunity to commend your effective leadership as chair, Mr. Chairman, which has greatly contributed to our group's progress. Your guidance is truly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair of the AP. Thank you for your warm words. Ms. Ribati.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to congratulate Dr. Patrick Masambu for taking ITSO to such a higher level and heading the ITSO when it was facing the challenges. When my association started with ITSO in 2015, since then I have been seeing him, and ITSO is equivalent to Mr. Patrick Masambu. And I think I wish him best of luck for his new ventures. And I'm sure he will be doing great, great things into the next phase of his tenure. And I also wish heartily welcome Ms. Renata, the upcoming DG. And I assure we will all support you. And you can count on our support to take ITSO to its new heights. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Ribati. If there is no more hand raised, I think from my side, as the chair of this working group, so we would like to, on behalf of this group, I would like to extend our deepest appreciation and sincere admiration for the exceptional leadership of Mr. Masambu. I think that your strategic vision, unwavering dedication, and ability to inspire excellence have not only propelled our organization forward, but have also set a standard for integrity and performance that we all strive to emulate. Your tireless efforts and clear-headed guidance, especially through challenging moments have made a lasting impact and ensuring the continuity of this important organization, which is the ITSO. We are truly grateful for the example you set and the path you pave. We extend to you our heartfelt thanks and wish you every success in the journeys to come. And as has been said, as indicated by the chair of the AP, we think that the recognition that you have received from the AP by designating you as Director General Emeritus indicates how we value your advice and thoughts. And it shows how impactful you have been to these organizations. Building on that and considering that we are still from our working group in the process of addressing some of the topics, so I would like, if the meeting do not see any objection to that, to have you to continue to be part of this group. So we would like you in your capacity of Director General Emeritus, as far as it would be possible for you, to continue to advise this group. So we would like you to attend our future meeting, and we will continue to seek for your advice and thoughts on this topic. This is without, I would say, any prejudice for any sort of activities or relationship that you that may be established with the secretariat. But in your capacity, we would like to continue to have us to have you with us during our discussion. So with that, I would like to call for a round of applause, of course virtually, to our Director General Patrick Masambu. And we will have a new Director General for our next meeting, which is Renata. So I would like to thank Renata in her current capacity for all the support that she has provided to the work of the working group and also the team for the secretariat. She has mastered everything. She has provided, I will say, excellent support to our activities in her capacity as Deputy Director General and also Director of Legal Affairs. So we wish you all the success for your tenure as Director General. But of course, we would have formal welcome words for our next meeting when you will be headed with your new hat as Director General of ITSO. So with that, I would like to close the meetings and thank you all for attending this meeting. Thank you all for your contribution to the work. We have accomplished also a key milestone at this meeting by being able to develop, I would say, recommendation for TORs 2, 4, and 6. There are still some points where we'll have follow-up action, but at least we have been able to agree on the set of recommendations that address those TORs. Our next meeting will be in September, and we will look at the last grouping for the TORs. And of course, the contribution of all the membership is most welcome to progress this work. So with that, meeting is closed. Thank you to all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.